Our third party leader this morning is Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald, whose party is gathering in Dublin today. Mary Lou MacDonald, good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
It's been a tough summer for you health-wise, hasn't it? And you've spoken publicly now about it. Are you back to full health?
I am, Mary. Thank you for asking. It has been quite a summer indeed, but I'm very conscious of the fact that many, many women have had the same experiences as I. So I'm fully recovered. I feel really blessed that I simply required surgery and nothing to follow up. So I'm back up and at it and ready to go, Mary. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
And you had a stay in hospital. Did it give you any new insights into the health system?
Well, certainly it confirmed for me just the quality and the character of the staff that we have within our system. And I'm referring to, obviously, doctors, surgeons, midwives, but also catering staff, cleaning staff, administrative staff. I was cared for in the Rotunda Hospital in the heart of Dublin City. And I think it's fair to say that it's an outstanding national institution. So it confirmed that, but it also confirms the need for further investment, for workforce planning. And I spoke to a number of particularly younger people working in the system who are considering, some of them now, options abroad. And we had many, many conversations actually about the issue of housing. So the issue of housing now, Mary, has touched every corner of Irish life. And it's now a real issue in terms of recruiting and retaining staff in our health service, in our schools, in our classrooms, and right across the Irish economy.
So politics never far from your hospital bed.
Yes, indeed.
We'll move on with the politics. Let's talk about Northern Ireland, because and Leo Varadkar was talking about it with Áine a while ago. Secretary of State Chris Heaton-Harris on Monday saying that Leo Varadkar's comments that he had made in the studio about unification in his lifetime, he said they were unhelpful to the job of getting the institutions back up and running. Was Leo Varadkar right to say what he said about unification in his lifetime when he said it?
Yes, I mean, I find myself in the somewhat unusual position of agreeing with an Taoiseach on a serious and substantive matter. Yes, I mean, the facts are that the peace settlement that we've all worked to build and to sustain allows for, on the one hand, power sharing, the institutions that we need to get back up and running again, Mary, and there can be no delay on that. But equally, that settlement recognises the legitimate aspirations for Irish reunification on the one hand, or for the maintenance of the union with Britain on the other. And as Satisha correctly points out, the British government at the most senior levels are not behind the door in describing themselves as unionists and describing the precious union and the lengths that they will go to maintain that union, which is fair enough. That's their, that's their bag. But from an Irish national interest, the only really sustainable and progressive position for any of us to hold is one of reunification for the economic benefits, the social benefits, and to complete finally our journey to full peace and reconciliation. So what I would say to the Taoiseach is this: it's not enough to kind of speculate or to wish for reunification in his lifetime. What we need now is a deepening of the conversation, and we need real preparation. So we need a Citizens' Assembly. I've said this many times to the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach, and I would hope that government would now start the real live preparation in an inclusive, respectful way. That's what needs to happen.
And to that broader point he made as well, and it takes in what you're saying about an inclusivity and respect, he was asked a question in relation to the Wolf Tones and music, and he brought up the United Ireland. But he did say, you know, in a United Ireland, you would have a 1 million minority. And he said, we need to be mindful about the songs and the words that can be deeply offensive to that minority. Is there a growing understanding of this within your party?
Well, I mean, we, unlike the other political parties in this state, I mean, we're a national organisation. We work and have worked power sharing with unionist colleagues for many years. And indeed, I'm not just talking about in Stormont and in the Assembly, I'm talking about at local council level right across the six counties. And I'm happy to report that it is my belief that relationships across society are deepening, understandings are deepening. I firmly believe that we have new generations of people coming forward who see the world, Mary, through very different eyes, through a very different lens, and who are very much up for conversations about change and inclusion. And respecting difference is part and parcel of all of this. I would also say people who are British in a partitioned Ireland will be British in a united Ireland. And there will be, by the way, a conversation to be had with the British government to secure recognition of that from the British state so that those rights are not just recognised in Ireland, but equally that they have their place and their position within the British system. And the new Ireland, Mary, is an Ireland of many shades, many traditions, many, many viewpoints. It's not simply orange and green. We are a much, much more complex society than that now. So here's the challenge for us to have that conversation and to get the big win, because this is the big opportunity. We need to get housing right. We need to get health right. We need to build a society where everybody has a stake and a place. And I know we can do that. And I know particularly our younger people, because they tell me they are up for that. So let the politicians not drag our heels. Mm. Let's get on board and let's actually lead on this.
And let's motor through a number of issues in the time we have. And,
sure.
And moving south, talking about security, have you confidence in Drew Harris to continue to lead on Garda Síochána?
I do. And I think what we have seen, to my mind, was the inevitable outworking of the deep sense of frustration amongst rank and file Gardaí. And they have, in fairness, been expressing this for quite some time. I think the guard, the commissioner, has come out the wrong side of that for now. I have no doubt. I am assuming that he is very, very aware of the frustration and the real pressure being felt within the Gardaí. And I think now government, it's not enough for the minister or government as a whole to be commentators on this. We need to see now real active engagement and a recognition, by the way, that over the last decade and more with Fine Gael in government, we have less Gardaí, less Garda stations, and certainly less of a sense of security for people in their homes, on their streets and in their communities. That's not acceptable. So there needs to be real action. And this falls, of course, to Drew Harris as the commissioner. But there is a wider responsibility within government to invest and to build and to actually make it a viable and, dare I say, even an attractive option for a young person to actually come in and to serve as a Garda officer, because it is public service at the most basic level, and we need policing to work.
Let's move on to farmers and climate, and I'm sure they'll be for discussion at your conference. But what is Sinn Féin's position now on the nitrates directive and the cut in Ireland's derogation? Do you stand with the farmers, or do they need to accept that in the best interests of water quality, that there will not be and should not be a change to the cut that has come from the European Commission?
Well, I am with the farmers in this respect. I think it was absolutely remiss of the minister not to meet directly with the commission on this matter. For the life of me, I cannot understand how he could have imagined that a virtual conversation at a distance would suffice. I think all of us have to be aware and committed to water quality. The farmers that I talk to understand that very, very carefully. I think in terms of the derogation, it's a question of managing this matter and managing it well. And government now say that they are going to compensate farmers. Mm-hmm. We want to see what exactly that is going to look like. But can I say more generally, we'll hear this again at the ploughing competition, the ploughing match next week. Farmers have told me now for many years of their deep frustration of not having a joined up conversation with government on all of these matters. Sometimes they tell me that they are just getting the deaf ear from government, and that in itself is not helpful. These things are difficult, they need to be managed, but they can only be managed when you're properly coordinated and when a minister is actually prepared to travel and to make the case in a comprehensive way.
What's your preferred option for a future funding, a future permanent funding structure for RTE when it is seen to have gotten its house in order?
Well, let's start with that point. The question here is getting the house in order. There's clearly profound governance issues. There's profound cultural issues within RTE, and those need to get sorted out. The soundings that we have heard from the new DG is that that they are prepared, and the new board under the leadership of Seanan Rahila. What we're hearing is that people are up for that change, but I think we need to see real evidence of it. So we want to see the report that will come from RTE. My own view is that in the midst of all of the heat and noise and public anger and lack of trust and within the staff of RTE, we need to get to the fundamentals of how over the long term we actually fund public service broadcasting.
Yeah, and I'm asking
what's
you how.
What's that going to look like?
Your preferred option.
Well, my preferred option, I would probably err on the side of exchequer funding.
Direct exchequer funding.
Now, yes, I am saying that as a personal preference, having reflected on these. We're obviously working on these issues. We need to talk more to RTE as a party. We need to see what RTE are bringing forward. We also need to talk to the other broadcasting organisations in the state. But whatever way we do it, Mary, we need to be sure that what we have is sustainable. And what is not sustainable are barter accounts and slush funds and thousands of euros on flip-flops, dare I say. That cannot be on the agenda, nor either can arrangements with employees that were not entirely lawful and that certainly did not recognise the rights. Sometimes, in many cases, of very long-standing employees within the national broadcaster. That's not on either. No state agency should behave like that with its staff.
Two final points for you. Micheál Martin said you're anti-Europe and you're anti-enterprise. It's not an image you'd want as a party, is it, that wants to be in power? Are you anti-Europe and anti-enterprise?
No, I am in fact a European, just to put Micheál Martin's mind at rest. And you know what? I think I'm one of these Europeans that actually believes that to make things better and to make Ireland better, but also all of the European family, you actually question things, you challenge things, you set out to make things better. You don't just lazily go along with the drag. I'm very proud of Ireland's position as an ancient European nation and an active member of the European Union. And I want us to use that influence positively.
Would you, if the numbers are in that direction after the next election, would you share power with a Fianna Fáil party led by Micheál Martin?
I believe that the very best outcome that we can have from the next election is a new government without Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael. So just to say that, I will also say this, that I will respect the democratic verdict of the people when they go to the polls. And by the way, nothing is a foregone conclusion, just to be clear.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you're
I'll talk to everybody. I will talk to everybody. And we will have a programme that is centred on social progress. Housing. Accommodation for our people. But I will talk to everyone and let the people decide. I hope, by the way, that the people will opt for a government of change where we see the old parties set aside a real chance and opportunity for change.
Sinn Féin
so
leader
much,
Mary Lou MacDonald, thank you very much. 4 minutes to 9.